Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Jess, you had a great idea this week, essentially testing the friendships that I have with the Brekkie show here at K-Rock.
Well, look, you are moving house tomorrow. You won't be in tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I tried to get a moving truck. It was annoying because I tried to get a moving truck on a Saturday. And they were like, how does a Friday work? I was like, well, it is a work day. But, you know, easy for me.
It happens. Yeah. And look, we thought, let's take this absolute inconvenience and use it to our advantage. Let's test out how well the breakfast show would handle being asked, will you help me move?
Yep. Tom from the on Tuesday, he said yes too quickly.
Almost too fast.
We were a bit surprised. I thought he was going to maybe like slowly or even like pretty abruptly be like, no, I can't do it. I won't do it.
Lee let you down pretty gently, but we kind of already knew how Loggy was going to respond because Loggy is one of the most beautiful human beings on the planet.
Stunning.
If she saw you on the street and you said, Loggy, that's a great dress. Can you take it off and give it to me now, please? She'd be like, no worries. Let me dress you.
She'd be naked on Morrible Street within a second.
And so we thought if we can't, like we already know that she's going to say yes. And she almost immediately offered to help you straight away. Yep. So how far can we push that friendship?
A few things before we listen to this audio. Because earlier this afternoon, we did call Loggy. We pretended we needed something else from her so that we could call her through the radio station. She was unawares. Few things for the audio. So my wife, her name's Jess as well. So if you hear me mentioning Jess, I'm not talking about work Jess. I'm talking about my wife Jess. And my son's name is Jack. And then Wombi is also her dog.
So if you listen to the breakfast show, you know Wombi.
There's a few names floating around. But essentially, like you said, Jess, trying to push the envelope. How much could we get from Loggy? Is she a good friend of mine? Let's have a listen.
Do you need a hand?
Well, Tom's going to swing by and help with a trailer because I just need some help lifting. Yeah, I know it's annoying because you're crook.
No. Of course, I'd love to help, honey. What do you need?
Because we've got the removalist coming, but Jack's meant to go to daycare, but he's a bit sick as well. So Jess was wondering if she and Jack could come to your house for like, I don't know, for most of the afternoon and just hang out with you or something.
Yeah, of course. Whatever you guys need. Like, if you need me to come over earlier and, like, you know, lift stuff, move stuff.
I'm just trying to think what would be helpful for Jess. Could they stay for dinner?
Yeah, of course.
What if it's late? Could they stay the night?
Oh, my God. 1,000%. Yes, 1,000%.
Like, even
oh
if it's...
Oh, my God,
but
yes.
What if, because Jack's crying a lot at night, lately, would that be...
Dude, as if I care. I sleep through anything. I don't care. I just want you to know, like, Wombi's a bit funny around kids or whatever, and because Wombi's bark is really loud, I don't know if Jack has, like, little headphones or something, just because I don't want Wombi to blow his eardrums out, like, at, you know what I mean? And then he'll settle. He'll be fine. But we'll just keep him outside or whatever, and then we'll keep him in his cage.
Could I pay to have him in a kennel?
No. He won't go in kennel because he's just even grown that. Do you know what we can do? I can take him to my mum and dad.
Let me finish. I need $500 for the removalist truck. Cash.
Yeah, that's fine.
Loggy, no. This is a friendship test. It's too much.
We were testing to see whether you would...
How much help you would give.
We knew, we asked Tom and we've asked Lingy and they've both... I mean, Lingy failed.
Lingy
Tom
said
passed.
No. Tom said he'd help me.
We knew you'd say yes immediately. You offered to help before Tim could even ask you. So our goal with you was to see how far we could push you. You were too nice. How are you lending Tim $500?
No, do you know what? I honestly thought, I'm like, oh, I've said no to the kennel. I better say yes to the $500 and he can just give it back to me whenever.
Like, you can take my cash, but don't you dare take my dog.
Oh, my God. And you know what? It's so funny. I was like, wow, he must really need help because he would never bring someone to my house on a Friday. Like, he must really need help.
She's too beautiful. She's the best human being. And if you don't know, after 9:30 on a Friday, Loggy disconnects. Do not get in touch with her, even if it's an emergency. So that was even pushing the envelope in itself.
Tim, I messaged her to say thanks for, you know, letting us prank you.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, thank you so much. It was so much fun. By the way, if Tim really does need help, let me know, because I can drop around coffees tomorrow if he needs them.
Well, I do need that $500 cash, so.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, I know you. Your son Jack's just over 1 year old now.
In the ones.
Did you have a lot of like other names picked out, or was it always going to be Jack?
Nah, Jack was probably, he didn't have a name for maybe 24 hours. Right. Jack, we had, like, I imagine most people do, even but like 5 years before we had our son.
You had a few names.
Yeah, and but I think we always thought, both of us imagined us our first child being a girl.
Yeah.
So
naturally you got a boy.
Yeah, and like we found out the sex of the baby. And I think that kind of helped, because I think we had a girl's name, like we had one girl's name on our list locked and ready to go.
Yeah.
Then a list of about 10 boy names. And we were pretty certain, and I know we're not going to name any of our, if we are able to have more kids. There was a period where Beckett was really, really firming to be the name of our son. We didn't have anything that really inspired it, though. We didn't have the only name I tried to push was Dyson for Dyson Heppel for the Bombers, because he's like one of my favorite Essendon players of all time,
also a vacuum cleaner.
That's what my wife kept saying. She's like, I won't be able to think of our son not as a vacuum. But I was like, I'll think of like one of the best leaders in a space that I'm very passionate in. And she went, but I think of a vacuum.
And then you slipped in an Essendon player into his middle names?
Accidentally. I didn't mean to. And it's not even a good Essendon player. It's not like it's the names like Jack James Hurd. Like Jack Matthew Lloyd. No, it's Aaron Francis, who got delisted by the club and now plays for Sydney. So it was an accident.
Well, a mother has jumped onto Reddit asking for advice, because she finally revealed to her daughter, who's now 25 years old, that the inspiration for her name came from a little bit of an odd place.
Was your name, because I don't think, from what I understand, I don't think my name was inspired by anybody.
Oh, I think I was born in 1991 and my mum went, oh, everyone's naming their baby Jessica. I'll do the same. But this woman, she named her child Shade. S-H-A-I-D-E.
Okay.
Right?
Shade.
And she said in this Reddit post that, you know, hey, I've revealed the secret to my daughter. I've been holding it for a couple of decades now. She's really mad at me. I named her after a lamp.
Is that like a type of lamp, like a shade?
No, like a lamp shade.
Is that how you spell that type of shade?
It isn't, no.
Oh.
But she was inspired by, she liked the word shade, so she threw it an eye.
That'll throw them.
Apparently her daughter is absolutely devastated.
Really?
Like, furious. She's like, why have you named me after a lamp? And it just got me thinking, like, names can come from all sorts of places, right?
I imagine it's like if your name's Rex and you find out your parents that just really like Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
And they're like, actually short for.
Or they refuse to fly Qantas and they only want to fly Rex.
Yeah, they really like the airline that's about to go under. What a time. I mean, does it really affect you if that's how your name's inspired by? Like,
I mean, if your name's Shade, maybe.
If your name's Lamp, it's a bit more obvious.
That's true.
Or Bulb.
5223-2955. Where did you get the inspiration for your kid's name from? Ooh. Or do you know where you were named after? Okay. I know I've got cousins that were named after characters from Vampire Diaries.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, my little cousin Elena. She was named.
Is that a character on the show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Her mum, my cousin, really liked the show Vampire Diaries. So she named her daughter Elena.
Well, actually, that's real. Because I had some friends of ours, and they had a baby and they wanted to call him Lucas.
Yeah.
And then he happened to be born on May the 4th. And they were like, as long as he's not born on May the 4th,
oh God,
we'll be fine. We'll call him Lucas. And okay, he got born. And they were like, well, we have to come up with something else.
Yeah.
So they were inspired.
George Lucas.
Yeah, they were inspired, but it never took place.
5223-2955. Where did the inspiration for your baby name come from? We've got Naomi in Marshall. Now, Naomi, this is your name, right? So what...
It is.
What inspired the name Naomi?
Well, my dad, his best mate, had a hot sister and her name was Naomi.
Great. Have you ever met the original Naomi? Or?
No, I haven't actually met her. I reached out to her for his surprise 50th, about, I don't know, 4 years ago. And I was messaging her on Facebook, and it was really awkward. But, yeah, that's how that name came about.
Hey, Naomi. My dad thinks you're hot. I was named after you.
Naomi.
I couldn't tell her that.
Does your mum know?
Oh, yeah. Was she aware of it?
I'm not sure if she knew the full story, but they had a backup name for me, and Dad's like, nah, this has got to be her name. This has to be it.
She's gonna grow up. She's gonna be hot.
It was very. That is. It's kind of. It is a bit strange now that I'm thinking about it.
Imagine you said to your wife, "Hey, I want to name our child after this hot girl that I saw once." How would she take that?
I don't think she'd be too impressed.
Yeah. I don't speak on behalf of my wife. How do you genuinely feel about it, Naomi?
Oh, I don't mind. I find it hilarious. Yeah, I guess it's like for stories like this.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a better story than why did you get called Tim? Because I did.
Yep.
And I don't know if Mum knew someone who had a hot brother whose name was Timothy. I'm not sure.
There's a question to ask him tomorrow.
I am seeing my mum tonight. They're in town, so maybe I'll after we order some Indian, I'll try and get it out of her. But Naomi, we really feel for you. I'm glad that you found the positive in it. But that's, what a day.
Yeah, and I could go further into the name backwards, but...
Naomi. Well, unfortunately, can we get a second here? The phone seemed to be broken.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Do you ever think to yourself, Tim, geez, that would have been just a bad way for me to exit this planet? Do you know what I mean?
What?
Like... when you have like a near-death experience and you go, oof, that would have been a hard one to explain at the funeral.
I've had it, like any time I've actually had what I would say is a near-death experience, I was probably a teenager and I hadn't fully understand the concept of death at the time. Like I remember once I was like me and my best mate, we were just scaling what could only be described as a sheer cliff.
Oh.
No ropes, no anything. We're just like, we'll go up. We'll go up that. And my mate fell and then I... chased after him and he had like all these cuts, he broke his arm, all this stuff, and then like I was teetering on the edge and I thought, this is not ideal. And now I look back at that and go, mate,
that could have ended
that was almost it. You're almost on the side of a cliff. That was where it almost finished. But at the time, no idea.
Well, last night I had one of those moments.
Oh mate, this could be, you are one of the most dramatic, exaggerative people that I know. Near-death experience, Jess. Yeah.
So I was having dinner with my husband. And, you know, earlier last week I sent him with a shopping list to the shops, my mistake. And I asked him, put on the list, fun shape of pasta. Don't care what shape it is. Make it fun, right? Have fun in the aisle. Choose something we've never had before.
Oh, maybe a rigatoni.
He brought home dinosaurs.
The most fun.
The most fun.
The same brand that my one-year-old son, Jack, eats of dinosaur pasta, yeah.
And when I picked up the dinosaur pasta and I said, hey, mate, what the hell is this? He said, are they not fun?
Yeah, well, see, this is the thing. You're sending him homework and he's doing it and then you're not happy with his, you're micromanaging dinosaur pasta. Listen to yourself.
I made a bolognese sauce. We made the dinosaur pasta. We're sitting on the couch watching TV as we usually do of an evening. And halfway through my pasta, a little piece of dinosaur goes down the wrong way.
Into the, like, to the oxygen gal? Yeah.
And I started immediately choking.
And like, choking or just, like, it went down the wrong way and you're like...
no, like, couldn't breathe choking.
Okay.
Like a child.
No offense. I say this with no offense. I hear you. I'm yet to believe that it was actual choking.
You can call my husband. He started performing... like, because he's done first aid training.
Backstrikes.
Yes. And I, like, immediately, like, this thing flew out of my mouth. And I started yelling at him.
Why'd you hit me? I was eating.
I was like, why are you hitting me? What kind of first aid is this?
No, that's what you meant to do.
This is what he said.
I've got my first aid certificate as well.
He was like, I was doing broad strokes upwards. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. And I was like, I've seen movies and you're supposed to Heimlich.
Heimlich is one of the worst things you could
one
probably.
Of the worst
it can work. But the backstrikes are quicker. They're easier to perform on anyone, like whether it's a child, whether it's an adult, an elderly person.
Whether it's a 33-year-old woman.
Douche, douche, douche.
Yeah, and it worked. And I hunked up this huge piece of pasta.
Stegosaurus flies across the living room.
And we kind of looked at each other for a few minutes and I said, imagine I died eating dinosaur pasta. How the hell would we have told anyone about this?
I think if there was a way to go, you'd probably have that in your top three.
Really?
Imagine getting to, like, if there is an afterlife, you get to the gates and they're like, all right, how did they go? They're actually choked on dinosaur pasta. I'd be like, sounds like a fun girl. Let her in. What a way to go, rock star.
Put her with the alphabet soup guys.
Yeah. Can I, and I know that this isn't kind of the, like, that's, I'm glad you're okay. Mm. I'm still not sure if I fully believe that you're actually choking or not, if you're just being a little bit dramatic. But do you know what you should have done? So obviously your husband was there, which was very lucky to perform the backstrikes. Do you know what you should have done if you were by yourself? I just thought this would be an important PSA for people.
It's a great question. From what I've seen in movies, because again, haven't done my first aid.
Yeah.
Do you like throw yourself onto a chair?
No, Jess. No? You, I know it sounds hard, but you like, you just literally, you just like fall on your back because essentially it's like a giant backstrike from the ground and then it goes, because you need it. You need the force going that away to push it out.
I would
out
never
of
have
it.
Thought, look at this, public service announcement. I nearly die eating dinosaur pasta and we're helping thousands of people.
Again,
you're welcome.
Yeah, all right.
I am a hero. Yeah, right.
This is Tim and Jess.
Once a week, we will, if we're having a disagreement, having an argument, we will save it, do it on this day, and then get someone else to decide who's right. It's the courtroom of Tim and Jess. And the first one to call through, Jess, becomes the judge. Then it's Law Across Geelong, Surf Coast.
Yeah, 52232955 if you want to be the judge.
Let's get into it.
Tim and Jess. You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session. Excited to get into this one today.
Yeah, because I already know how you feel about this situation, Tim. Shorts in the workplace.
We've spoken a lot about shorts this week.
This look, I don't want to talk specifically about jorts. I want to talk about shorts in general.
Okay.
Because the internet currently is divided over whether shorts are appropriate workplace attire.
I feel like they have to be appropriate.
Well, I mean, look, we kind of have to take ourselves out of this because as radio announcers, we have a very lax wardrobe.
What's that catchphrase they say we can wear? Whatever the hell we want.
Yes.
Yes.
We can. We have no uniform.
As long as it's not like silly or inappropriate.
Yeah, no like offensive language on it, then we're usually pretty good. Yeah. I feel like as a collective society, wardrobes have become a lot less...
strict.
And a lot less formal since the pandemic. I feel like the pandemic, everyone worked from home and then they came back into the office and they were like, this is what we wear now. Yeah. I can wear my tracksuit pants to the workplace.
Oh, really? Trackies to me are always a no. Always a no. The thing is, because I know that you're probably against people wearing shorts.
I just feel like there's a very fine line between appropriate and not appropriate in the workplace.
See, that's not fair though, because like you
wear... it depends how short your shorts are. Like I'm wearing a dress, yes, but I would never wear a short dress into the office.
Well, you failed.
How dare you?
Yeah, I've seen you come in here with those Hoochie Mama dresses.
Hoochie Mama?
I don't know if that's a real thing. Just wanted to be a bit scandalous. But like I don't, like to me on a hot day, if I'm having to come in and wear pants... like,
yeah, but usually the air conditioner's going in the office.
Oh, thanks. Jeez, I feel better. Thanks. Imagine if you came to work and you were like Jess, you actually can't wear dresses or skirts to work anymore.
How very dare you?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel.
I feel like your shorts aren't inappropriate, Tim.
Unless they have the blowout in the middle and I just pretend it doesn't happen.
When you walk around the office and you put your hand through your blowout and you start shaking people's hands with it, then, yeah, it might be inappropriate.
That was one time.
I feel like there's levels.
That was one time, and it was to no female colleagues.
It was to me.
You don't count. You're one of the boys. But I hear it.
52232955. Are shorts appropriate in the workplace?
They've got to be. It's not fair. It's not fair.
I'd love to hear from men specifically, I think, because, you know... I feel like
Do you want business shorts? Is that what we're looking
at? Well, I mean, there are some people in this conversation talking about how business shorts are becoming like a bit of a staple for summer.
Yeah, business shorts. I can get around it. 5223295. You be the judge. Shorts in the workplace. Is it a yes? Is it a no?
Kelly from Moolap, you are our judge today. Welcome to the show, Your Honour.
How are you going?
Kelly.
Good, babe.
How do you feel about shorts in the workplace?
I'd have to say a huge no. I work with dogs all day. So, yeah, wearing shorts, you would go home and pretty much end up having to be at emergency for stitches.
Yeah, but, okay, hypothetically in your job, yes, I understand. Yeah. Like, if you're a gardener, don't be out there, like, without those, like, those protectors.
Kelly, if a real estate agent walked towards you, right, in a pair of nice tailored shorts, are you going to accept this? Is that...
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But then, like, hypothetically, if that real estate agent is a female and she comes to you in a dress or a skirt, that's fine, right?
Skirts and skorts are different to actual shorts.
I hadn't thought of skorts.
I hadn't thought of a skort in a while, Tim. It is that extra flap that makes it acceptable. You're right.
Should I add a flap to my shorts?
You want to wear a kilt in the office? Go at it.
I'd love to wear a kilt.
Just go a kilt. Go the full thing. Go hack.
But the shorts is where you go.
Do you want me to bring you a skirt? I'll bring you a skirt.
Yeah, give me a skirt. Okay. I feel like I could rock it.
A skort?
What's with you in skorts, Kelly?
Both worlds.
It is the best of both worlds.
All right, well, the gavel's down. You're very, very clear on how you
Sorry,
feel about
fellas.
This.
Keep your pins covered.
Lucky. Yep. I've heard it's going to be like a hot summer. So thanks,
Excellent.
Kelly. Excellent
Good.
Fun. it's just, I don't know what to say. I just feel a bit defeated. I'm not wearing shorts
you
today.
You can wear a skirt. We never took skirts away from you, Tim.
Sorry, you're right. I'm being ridiculous.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.